Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois Radio, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
Ooh, lovely. Yes, we do. You know what else we do? We invite a third party to join us here in the sack. We'll be chatting about sex, relationships, and every goddamn thing in between.
Before we get to that, I'd like to check in with you, lover. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We made a hell of a cannonball run on Delta Flight something something.
6275.
Yeah.
We were in Chicago for less than 16 hours.
Yep, we did a quick push to catch the final Grateful Dead show, as it may or may not be.
So we apologize if we can't connect the dots in this episode.
No, we're still smoking hash with those fat old bald men and on the garden garden level general admission
garden
area.
Level.
Garden level. I've lost it. It's already off the tracks.
You know who else is smoking hash? I don't know if that's true.
Oh, baby.
This hilarious ham bone, you've seen him on Best Week Ever, all over Comedy Central, Fuse, MTV, Logo, Bravo, and VH1. He's also in the upcoming feature films, Chasing Banksy and Bruce.
And more recently, you've seen him in season one of Bianca Unanchored. You've seen him slinging some drinks around there. Let's say hello to Mr. Brian Voss.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, hi, Chasing Banksy.
I know, you made quite a drink. This is very good.
Yes.
Thank you, Murph.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining. Cheers,
hair of the dog.
Yeah, a little G&T.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cheers.
So
thanks
nice
for having
that it's
me.
Evening time, too, to drink. You know, sometimes we end up getting to that day drinking here, and I'm just getting too old for it. So I'm glad that it's like 7 something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice time to be drinking.
Actually, I have no idea what time it is.
Yeah, there's no time in this room.
There's no windows, padded walls in case we start losing our shit.
Oh, man. So we've already kind of slipped on over to our wine and dine section. We like to wine and dine our guests.
We do. As G&T, an old favorite, old standard of yours?
It is. I think I just, like, I fell in love with it in college because it
You're Southern.
I am Southern. I didn't drink G&T. Like, my Southern drink was rum and Diet Coke.
Ooh.
And you drink, like, half a Diet Coke and then fill Cap Morgan's the rest of the way
then
swish it. And then you take it on the road. I thought drinking and driving until, like, age 17 was literally bringing a drink in the car. Like, I didn't.
Like, as long as I'm not doing that.
Because, like, my dad would always, like, put some scotch in a glass on the way to church.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, that's drinking and driving. But he wasn't drinking and driving. He wasn't even drunk.
Yeah.
It was like the most watered down, you know, Jameson. So like, G&T's I discovered when I went to Brown in Rhode Island. And it was, I think, because people wanted to be fancy, but also it does well warm.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Oh, it's really refreshing no matter what.
Yeah.
I think it's a quinine.
It's that quinine.
Oh, no one in this room is getting malaria tonight.
Not on my watch. Wait, Murph, can we read these things I wrote about G&T?
Oh, yes, please. Ooh. Oh, it's a succulent summer swallow.
A raucous Randy refreshment.
A pretty punchy potable.
A luscious lavish libation. That's all. I wrote those this afternoon. I was pretty proud
succulent.
Of them.
Succulent. I've never heard succulent without pig after it.
No, that's right. Yeah, succulent is generally, used to describe a very juicy little pig roast.
It's always a pig.
Blazing trails here at Ménage à Trois Radio.
This is so good,
Oh, can I make an announcement?
Mm-hmm.
We now have straws in studio.
This is the first time we've ever sipped through a straw. Is that true?
I think it is.
I think I'll say it.
I mean, I got a pack of multicolored straws or just LIVA.
Oh my gosh, that is some great Foley.
That's excellent Foley.
Do straws make you drink faster or slower?
Faster for me.
Yeah, I think I've heard they get you drunker.
I think it's because you're drinking from the bottom, and that's usually the booze goes in first.
Oh, started from the bottom.
From the bottom.
Now we're here.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Drake. Sorry.
I hope Drake's listening, you guys.
Yeah, if he heard that shout out, he'll be a guest on the next show, I think.
Do you find this beverage sexy?
Yeah, I do. There's something like Tennessee Williams about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like sitting on a porch on a veranda.
Sipping on a gin and tonic.
Wearing a linen suit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's summery, right?
It is. It's the perfect summer, Bev.
It's really mixing well with a load of toxins in my body.
Oh, you are pickled, aren't you, Laura?
I'm a bit pickled.
Did you wake up still drunk?
Yeah.
We slept for like an hour.
Oh my God.
Also slept literally like where you're supposed to put your bag in this like TV nook.
It was a little hutch.
Because there were three people in the bed and I'm the shortest. So I was like hanging on a desk.
Yeah. It wasn't
crazy.
It wasn't suited for sleeping, but
I don't know.
You made it work.
Felt pretty rock and roll to me.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
In the aloft.
The the Aloft?
Or Aloft. What the fuck is
that? That was called? What it was.
Aloft, the name of the hotel was Aloft?
Yes.
Yeah. That's so misleading.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It should be many lofts.
Yeah, just Aloft. Just a Aloft. Single loft.
Up in a loft somewhere.
A hayloft.
Hayloft?
Yeah.
I wish we slept in a fucking hayloft last night.
That'd be very romantic.
Rolling around in the hay with Katie and Sarah.
All the manure.
Shall we slip on over to Sexy Science?
Let's do it. Mm. Oh, this one comes to us from our beloved Jezebel.
Ripped from the headlines.
Introducing the pseudo penis, or why female hyenas are feminist as fuck. Oh, whoopee.
Oh, wow. Wonder how many pseudo peni were in that.
Wait. So, what were you going to say?
Yeah, what is a pseudo penis?
Yeah, what is it exactly? I don't know. I haven't read this one yet.
Allow me to explain.
Okay. Please.
In most mammal embryos, the genital tubercle forms early, later becoming a penis or a clitoris, depending on hormones.
Oh, yes. Well, but many lady hyenas have huge clits, and they're called pseudo penises, making it hard for them to mate and give birth. So what the hell's up with that?
Yeah, you'd think, why would they have something that makes it harder? But basically, this is interesting. Hyena societies are matriarchies and sort of misandrist, and they've basically developed dicks to indicate power and dominance.
Wow.
And it's really cool. And they're
and
twice
that's
as
why
big
Whoopi
as
Goldberg dick. Is such a prominent hyena character in Lion King.
That's exactly it.
Enormous clit.
That's great.
Yeah, and it is.
I mean, it's too bad that it makes it hard for them to give birth, but is birth ever easy?
No.
But they said like half of hyenas are stillborn because they suffocate coming down, because they give birth out of their clit. Guys, go to Jezebel and read this article. It's so interesting. God.
Out of their clit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big old clit.
That is
a big
old
clit. It's basically like giving birth out of your dick.
I like that kind of swings the balance a little bit. Yeah, I refuse to even let that sit for a minute.
I shan't entertain that.
I did a little, I think I had like kind of a deposit, not a full on stone, but I had to do one like tiny little thing once. I think that eventually just passed easy, but I think.
You're talking about kidney stone?
My kidney stone, yeah, sure. They give you something to break them up so that they come out. Mine never got that bad.
That is one thing that I can't even imagine. Oof. Like gauging is like a sexual practice where you put metal rods in your
into the
male
urethra.
Ooh. You couldn't put it in a female urethra in the human body, but it's a thing that people
in
do.
In the hyena body.
Yeah. In the hyena body, it sounds like maybe you could figure it out. But
so how is this practice?
Hyena body
practice,
is a wonderland.
I think if there's something that people are going to do, they're going to try it. They're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? If it's possible.
Hey,
yeah.
I found a hole.
Let me stick something in it. That's caveman. You know, they probably figured that out the hard way. Yeah. I think, anything going up there just is a little... I don't know. I'm too sensitive in that area, maybe.
Sure, but like something that maybe a lady can relate to, Diana. When you're peeing as a guy and you like pinch it, it feels kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's painful.
I get that.
It's good pain.
It's like, but I mean, you wouldn't do that for very long.
See, I don't do that with pee, but that's like boning really hard. Sometimes get to that, you're like, pleasure meets pain.
Yep.
Because you're like... Well, I'm getting rammed, but I like it. What?
Rammed.
So romantic.
What I think
such an 80s way to describe.
Babe, we're going to get rammed.
Yeah. Nice cans, babe.
Big old jugs.
What I think this article brings up is, does dick equal power? Because that's like, why couldn't they just be like, have their little hyena puss and be dominant.
You need something dangling there, something
really
visible.
Interesting.
But like female lions, back to the Lion King, they do the hunting. Lionesses do the hunting.
They're the badasses. Right.
They aren't bigger than male lions, but they might be bigger than the teenage male lions.
Yeah.
Because like really in the lion den, there's like one big
Papa.
Dude.
Yeah.
Right?
He just lounges around.
Yeah. And mates.
So spreads that seed. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the elder female lions that have the experience, they go out in the kind of pack and hunt.
Yeah, I wonder if the female hyenas are just larger in general.
Oh, yes.
Oh, they are.
They are.
It said so. And they get these, like, weird skin flaps that resemble a scrotum, so they actually look completely male.
Interesting.
Wow.
Which just is, like, bizarre, because it doesn't help with their mating, so it's just for dominance.
But as we know, Bobcat Goldthwait's character in The Lion King, he's... definitely a submissive character.
Yes, he is.
Also male.
Yeah.
Whoopi runs the show there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything who's we the ever third hyena?
Who is the third hyena? It's Bobcat, Whoopi, and...
Probably like a character actor from probably, the Broadway yeah. world, you know?
Haz is going to go online and find out.
Oh, he's like our it's Ed Chloe Asner. From 24. Haz, get us the name of the third hyena.
And their social security number.
I'm going to guess it's...
Sandra Bernhardt.
Ooh, that's excellent a great guess. I said Ed Asner, but it's not Ed Asner.
I said Jean-Luc Picard.
Jean-Luc Picard?
Jean-Luc?
Jean-Luc.
Patrick Stewart?
Yeah.
You think Patrick Stewart's the third?
I never saw the movie, so I'm just throwing out.
You need to see the movie.
Sean John Picard.
Sean John. What's the his?
LGBT
glow.
This is saying it's Whoopi Goldberg, Cheech Marin.
Cheech!
Cheech!
Wow. Of course it's Cheech!
Cheech! And now we're back to the dead. And yes. Who's the third?
Jim Cummings.
Wait a minute.
What about Bobcat?
Was Bobcat the one that goes, was that Cheech?
I mean, I don't know the differences between the hyenas.
There's one hyena that has a stoner laugh.
Yeah. I think that might be Cummings.
That's Cheech, right?
Oh. No, Cheech has kind of a speaks.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the one is kind of a little slow, doesn't really speak too much.
Yeah, there's one that's...
Tongue hanging out.
So it says, Ed communicates through entirely, or almost entirely through crazed laughter. So that was Jim Cummings.
Oh, God bless that,
that
man.
That would be a fun
That's my
role.
Dream role.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he probably still gets like a $100 check once a year for The Lion King.
Except for that time where I watched it in four parts on YouTube and wept when I was very drunk and sad one night. He didn't get paid any money for no residuals for that YouTube.
I thought about The Lion King because I saw it Inside Out, and there's a death scene in it, and it reminded me of The Lion King death scene visually.
Yeah.
I never saw The Lion King.
You got to do it.
I can't watch movies where animals die.
This one punches you in the gut.
I don't
mind. But it's a triumphant story in the
end. You're okay with people dying?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, brains everywhere. I'm, like, totally fine with it. Then the animals, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
We got to get Jim Cummings on the program and just have him cackle for every response to our
question.
I mean,
that.
It's menage a trois, and you got three hyenas, and we all know Whoopi pegged the other two male hyenas.
Yes.
You know that happened.
Big fat clip. Oh, my gosh. Way to bring it back to science.
She runs, She runs that view table as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. She's got her
and
clit
I mean
hanging out.
Sexually.
Her big clit.
Yeah. I feel like she's trying to teach Raven a thing or two. Who else is cool on that panel anymore? I forget.
Raven's
who...
on The View?
Yes.
Raven Simone.
Raven Simone's on
guys,
there.
Guys, I'm still smoking hash over here.
I know.
I have no
you're
idea
out of
what's
it. Get
on.
With the program.
No, Whoopi, I've heard that Whoopi runs the show. She dominates those four other women. That is a matriarchy. We're bringing it back to the hyenas.
Now we're back to the
The View. And she runs it. And supposedly the audience, they're all Whoopi heads.
Yes.
What?
Whoopi Pies? What is the name
Whoopi
of her
Pies.
Fan
Whoopi Pies.
If it's not, it fucking better be.
But they're like the warm-up comic. It's like they save Whoopi for the end. Everyone goes nuts.
Yeah.
It's that Whoopi Goldberg.
Because who else do you
That's
come
who
to
I would
see
cheer for.
It used to be Babs at least. A
Rosie Perez is technically there.
Ooh.
But
she goes second fiddle.
Ben just gave me some serious eyebrows.
Haz says you'd go Perez over Whoopi.
I like some Rosie Perez. I feel like she keeps it real.
She's like great. A Rosie.
A little Rosie.
Hey, Rosie.
Honking. My favorite person on The View.
What the fuck, Billy?
My favorite person on The View is Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
He's just like
great.
In everything. He's not credited. It's hard to find him, but he's there.
Yeah. We all know he's there. Well, I'm glad we solved the science of this mystery.
Yeah, giant, you know,
giant
genitals.
Pseudopenises run the world. Who runs the world?
Pseudopenises.
But see, when you said pseudopenis, the first thing I thought of was the inflatable penis that you can get if you have a sex change.
Oh, yes.
Oh, right.
And it's like there's a pump that's. I almost said installed, but it's really surgically implanted inside your body. And then you press the pump and then it enlarges the pseudopenis.
I love
so
that
you
have
like your own skin over it. But
yes,
it's like-
it is your own skin.
Pump inside. When you said installed, I just thought of like between 3 and 7, we'll be there to install the
pseudopenis.
The cable
Warner.
Guy. Time Warner comes
comes
over and just
puts
installs
your
pseudo.
Yeah. And then when you try to cancel, they're like, well, you have to bring the pseudopenis back in.
Yeah,
you no one comes to do that. No one can come and pick up.
You got to stand in line at the actual building for hours and hours.
The serial number scratched off. You keep moving apartments with a pseudo penis no one can use. What?
You know, there's like a different pseudo penis for Brooklyn than for Manhattan.
Is that true?
I mean, if we're still talking about Time Warner cable boxes,
this analogy,
they're different colors and you can't, they don't transfer.
They don't cross over. Nope.
Which is so stupid.
Bullshit.
Why?
I hope.
They can't explain.
Time Warner cable pseudo penis goes under.
I hope so,
too. Sink
you,
Time Warner. Your monopoly is over.
We just lost all of our sponsors, but it was worth it.
Yeah. Time Warner's been really sponsoring the show. They've been a dear friend of ours for
sending
a long
lot
time.
Of big checks.
Oh, yeah.
Large oversized
fat checks. These straws don't just come right out of our ass.
This is a great drink. I'm already tipsy.
Yeah. That's what I like about it. It's refreshing enough that it just flows right through you. I feel like G&Ts get me looser than most other. I think maybe I'm just used to sipping on whiskey, but with G&Ts, they get me giddy quick.
Whiskey, you have to sip more slowly.
Yeah.
That's true. We got beers on the plane yesterday, and they had kept them too cold, and then they exploded on us, so we got free
bourbon. Woodford, yeah. Fun.
That's pretty good.
It was a pretty good trade.
And they were so apologetic. She kept explaining the freezing mechanism, and we were like, we don't
That's
care.
Too boring. Just give us free things.
Yeah, exactly. We're asking for free booze.
Also, you're like, okay, between us squirrels, I would be okay with just getting my shirt ruined.
Yeah.
But like, give me my free stuff.
Give me this stuff. Yeah.
She
exactly.
knew that too, though, because she was like, yeah, it's really bad in first class when a guy opens a beer and it explodes on his suit. She's like, but with you guys.
Yeah, because he's like, yeah, like, this guy had a meeting
with you
to
garbage
go to.
Monsters.
Yeah, you guys have nowhere to be, clearly. You can reek of beer at all times and it doesn't matter.
We had no luggage. We were like,
she
hey.
Knew who she was dealing with.
like the
flight to
drink.
Chicago is like 45 minutes.
It was like 2 hours.
Oh, I have no idea what I'm talking
pretty,
about.
pretty quick, though. As far as flights go, you get up and you're like, a couple drinks and you're down.
Yeah.
No movies.
No movies, nothing. We did 90% of a crossword puzzle. Pretty proud of that.
The last long flight I was on, Interstellar was an option for the free movies. And when I got up to go to the bathroom, I didn't watch it because the audio was all weird.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was asleep watching Interstellar.
Oh, my.
It put the entire plane to sleep. Oh, I mean, God. No one could pay attention to the 3 hours of.
It's a lot.
Also, that also seems like a big screen
of
movie.
Course.
It is. You're watching it on the back of a seat.
Plane movie.
Yeah, that's not where it's most impressive. I saw it on a laptop, so I was in the same boat. Except for the end where the daughter where his daughter's name is Murph in the movie. So McConaughey, who I just love McConaughey, but he's like crying out to his daughter at the end, like wanting
Murph.
Her to hear. Yeah, and he's like, Murph, Murph.
Oh, no way.
And there's teary, and I'm just like, Matthew, I'm here. So that was
I've been here the whole 3 hours.
Yes, I've been here. Believe it or not, I stuck around.
Matthew,
that's
I've
really
always
sweet.
Been here.
Yeah.
I cried on the way back from Thailand watching Guardians of the Galaxy. Have you seen that?
Sure. Yeah.
Groot, come on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sobbing and I'm like in between like all Japanese people because we flew out of Tokyo and they're just like watching me like weep.
Weep. Yeah.
In the middle of like a 20 person row. It was a low point. I laughed, I cried.
Sure. I thought more people would get the Groot, like, animatronic potted thing.
I wanted it, but then I forgot to buy it.
Yeah. I immediately, and I actually forgot the movie happened.
It just,
like, it was
it was
so
one of those
pleasurable.
That came and went, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's like a week later, I was like, what was that?
Yep.
Guardians of the Who's?
Yeah.
Guardians of the what?
What's this now? Who's guarding what?
Yeah.
Something in the galaxy.
The Groot potted plant should have been. I mean,
right? That would have been like the Christmas present of the year.
The chia pet of the aughts.
It like
teens?
Danced. I mean, everyone loved the Groot character. But
and the voice, Goldthwait was the voice of the Groot. Was that?
That was true. A lot of people think it was.
He directs
these
Friends of the People.
Bobcat Goldthwait does.
That's not even a joke.
That's amazing. I mean,
directs that
him directing like with his voice is the funniest thing.
Well,
ever
he doesn't
seen.
Really. He's. I feel like that was a character that he may have slipped out of.
That was a Police Academy exclusive.
Oh yes.
But can you imagine that into like one of those?
Yeah. Just sitting on a big chair, just screaming into a cone.
That's
Yo,
the reason
you
to
do
get into directing is to have a bullhorn.
Absolutely.
That's
Where
why
is
I'm
my
directing.
Bullhorn? Nolan, if he had a bullhorn on the set of Interstellar, maybe it wouldn't have been a long mess.
That's great advice.
That's good advice to Christopher Nolan. Here's how you drag Nolan.
Let's slip on over to give some other advice.
Ooh,
great segue.
Love. Listen, a mailbag.
Haas, what
See,
do we
gives
have?
You a little, it gives you a little shimmy, and then it just
Wait,
cuts you off.
First, these are our listener questions that we try to give advice on hearts and parts.
I love it.
Haas reads them, and we respond.
Okay, our first question comes to us from Mateo in Montreal via our Facebook page, Ménage à Trois Radio. Mateo wonders, my best friends, John and William, are dating, and I went home with them last night. We had a great time, but I am worried our tryst will ruin our BFF ship. Help.
Ooh. Oh, wait, what? Okay, so this is so yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it take me so long?
So muddying the friends' water.
Right.
Yeah. Waters.
Water. And it was great, which is actually, that is already a success.
That's what I was just going to say, because normally that can get awkward.
Most first hookups, whether it's two people or three people, is like, we got to do this again as fast as possible to see if it is going to be bad every time.
Yeah, you got to work out the kinks a little bit. Yeah.
So just the fact, Mateo, that it worked out, I think you're already ahead of the game.
But is it something that you leave in that one night, or do you continue to like muddy those waters?
I think if Mateo doesn't want to keep hooking up with his best friends, he should invite them to do something not sexual as fast as possible.
Ah.
Something out of the apartment, something during the day.
Like apple picking?
Hit the orchard.
You just describe my fantasy, so I would say no to apple picking.
That's going to end up with roll around in the apple
something, honestly,
orchards.
With like heavy food, like, let's get lasagna for brunch.
Ooh.
All right.
Something that's going to really get in the way.
Some mimosas and lasagna.
It kind of sounds like my fantasy, though.
So. Oh, you're a real ricotta head.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The more sexual, the marinara sauce and a whole lot of pasta.
It's crazy that friends don't hook up more.
Isn't it?
I think so, too.
Because you're so close.
And you're there at
the
end of the night.
It's the last thing where you're like, yeah.
And you know, Oscar Wilde, to quote a gay man, Oscar Wilde said that I'm really paraphrasing here.
I love that he's known as a gay man.
Oscar Wilde, famous
legendary gay
man. But he says we choose our friends for their good looks, our acquaintances for their good character, and our enemies for their intellect.
Ooh.
Ooh, interesting.
And if you look around at your friend circle, it often is like people that you're like, well, in a parallel universe, we would all be dating or married or something. But
right.
And maybe it's because when you're single, you're trying to have good looking or attractive in some way people to draw other
options.
People to you.
Yeah, yeah.
But also like
to bring other
circles.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
pack.
That's the hyena pack.
You want to be a sum greater than your parts in your friend groups.
Yes.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it also is cool if you have an ugly friend to walk around with, because then you look like a flower among weeds.
The duff.
Ooh, the duff.
Is that a thing?
It's the designated ugly fat friend.
Oh, the duff.
Oh,
they,
made my God.
They made a whole movie out of it.
Is that true?
It's not
where
good.
Where was I?
I went and saw it, and I regret it.
Who's a part of this
Bobcat.
Film?
Bobcat.
Anne from Arrested Development plays the Duff.
Oh, I love her.
Oh.
The mayo neg. Yeah.
She's not the reason the movie's sad. The movie's sad because it's about the premise.
The main premise
is just like, ooh, woof. Yeah.
Ooh.
But in general, I think like Mateo and his
good-looking
friends should just, if they want to keep it going,
lasagna brunch, maybe?
Lasagna brunch.
All right. Our second question is from Karen, Joe, and San Diego via our email, menageatrois.radio@gmail.com. Karen Joe asks, I always think I'm pregnant, but I'm not. Any tips for being more in touch with my body?
Brian, do you want to take that one?
No idea.
I can't possibly.
I can kind of relate to this.
Sure.
I always think I'm pregnant, but I don't think it's because I like feel pregnant. I think it's just a paranoia you sometimes have.
Sure.
You know, it's like where you think that any unknown thing that could be going on might be going on.
Or if you're late one day.
Right. Yeah. Or I'll just be like, oh my God, I take 3 birth controls every 3 days.
Right.
Yeah, panels. You do like a triple up. It's like
I'm really bad at taking birth control. So I'm sure one of us is sterile, the fact that we're not pregnant already.
Let's flip a coin.
But I think like pregnancy and STDs are kind of analogous, you know?
Yeah.
That's just that
they're
fear
the
of
exact
like,
same. Yeah. You think about it.
I would view pregnancy as like an STD. I don't want it. I mean, I respect it, but
you have an
it's
irrational feeling like I dry humped someone my sophomore year and like got a zit on my thigh and went to health services.
Thought you had herpes.
Yep.
And the poor nurse like stabbed my zit. It bled all over the place. She sent it to Quest Diagnostics.
They picked it up to
they
the lab.
Sent the
bill
to my father. And he called me up and was like, You should change your address with health services.
He's like, I'm drinking bourbon in the car.
Yeah.
Just got some mail.
I got flagged down by Quest and they slipped this note in my
car. But it's like, I don't even know what I thought would happen. Like, nothing happened.
Paranoia just takes over.
But yeah, you're like, what is this news
in? Oh, no. Yep. My boyfriend in high school, I like jerked him off and then he fingered me like an hour later. And I was like, there might have been sperm on the finger.
Sure.
That was, I mean, mm-hmm. that's like, and I remember calling Planned Parenthood and them having to like sadly aww. Explain to me like how lame that was.
You're like, yeah, sperm dies.
Yeah.
It's like Winona Ryder in Mermaids when she thinks she's pregnant and they're like, you're a virgin. And then they have to have this talk with her and she's like so embarrassed.
I love Mermaids.
That's my favorite movie.
It's a great movie.
Top 10.
Well, you know, look, there's a test for it is the key thing here.
They're not cheap, though.
No, they're not. The wizard tests, they make them.
I buy 2 packs and I just take them all the time. Karen Jo, I relate to you. I feel you. Sometimes you just have to go to the bathroom.
Lastly, we got one more that I think will help.
An anonymous person DM'd us on our Twitter at Menashe Radio asking, my friend Susan is going bald, but she's a chick. What's up with that shit?
Oh, oh my gosh.
First of all, good thing you're anonymous because you're no friend of mine.
Also, we know you're Susan.
Yeah. Yeah. <you're...
laughs> This is Susan. Your classic my friend.
Yeah.
Asking for a friend.
I'm anonymous, but my friend. Oh, well,
they
Susan...
have Rogaine for women now.
Yeah.
I think women just get hair less, but just less than men. I mean, just to explain to anyone out there who doesn't know that, but that sucks.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like wigs, I think, are great. Toupees, I think, are trash. Why do I feel that way? Because I just started thinking like, well, you can get some boss wigs, but I feel like the...
Toupee is just part of a wig.
Toupee is just a little wig.
You're saying but you're in support of women wearing a wig. I mean,
anyone wearing like cool wigs, I feel... I've always just had weird beef with the toupee because I think it's just like, I've never seen someone sell me on a toupee.
Like it's too false.
Like Travolta went, you know, you get into the plugs, you get into that situation.
He had a
it's
Caesar
awkward
cut
for a while. He had a Caesar cut.
He just
cut.
Had like Velcro.
Somebody painted Velcro.
Ironed to his skull. I've never seen anything like that.
Well, I would say like men can wear hats and that's like fashionable.
Mm-hmm.
Women wearing hats have to be at like a Baptist church
or a Kentucky Derby party or something. Yeah,
but women can wear in New York City. Like women wear a lot of scarves.
Ooh,
and I think like head wraps, and I think that's kind of like
go the chemo route.
A cool opportunity. Yeah,
go the chemo route.
I have a tiny head, yeah, so I can't wear hats. But I'm always jealous of like stately women who can pull off like a big hat.
I think you need the shoulders and the whole like.
Gotta have shoulders.
If you don't have shoulders, don't you dare try to wear a hat.
So this friend, what's the friend's name?
Anonymous.
Susan.
Oh.
I would actually suspect that like the amount of hair drying, blow dryer, bleach that women like do to their hair is like constantly.
That's a good
probably
point.
Adds to like thinning of the hair, and like. She should tell her friend to just like stop wanting to be a blonde.
Yes.
Right.
Stop wanting to have like straight hair. Just like embrace
own that mousy brown.
Stop shampooing.
Yes. That's a.
Shampoo is just
I never
soap.
Wash my hair.
It is.
Anymore.
You have great hair.
You do have great hair.
Like
and
a
you
dead
did.
Rat.
No, you stopped washing it. Honestly, you've got
thanks.
More body, more volume,
hey.
more personality to it.
You have a nice ombre.
Stop. Stop it.
But I think that's like for women since, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not, there's not a women pattern baldness.
No.
Alopecia? Is that, what is that?
I mean, that's like a whole separate thing.
Alopecia. Does that sound more feminine?
Oh, that could be like a Greek, like, hair salon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Alopecia.
You guys can take that and run with it.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys. Yeah, I think, I would just say you're right, because I don't think there's a way to, I feel like men panic sometimes and do the, you know, rug or whatever, and it looks generally to me a guy who owns the baldness is sexier, like a Christopher Maloney.
Oh, Christopher Maloney, yeah, totally. You just have to get super jacked.
You got
to
be jacked. You got
to
have something masculine.
You
if
have
you don't
to
have
like,
hair,
like Christopher Maloney, he's like 180
he's
pounds
a 10,
of solid
but
muscle.
But he just doesn't have a lot of hair on them.
And
but
he like saved women and children for 10 years on a popular show, so everyone just
look. He's got a lot going on. That might not be the best example.
Yeah,
but you know, men can own the ball. I just mean men can.
Stanley
just
Tucci.
Stanley Tucci is the next person I was thinking of. Yeah, you can own it. But women can't as much, I guess.
Well, sure. Back in the day, there were a lot of leading men who were losing their... That was just, like, normal.
Right.
And now I feel like everyone looks like a fake creep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Women and men, they're, like, full of plastic and, like, pumped full of stuff. And there's, like, a rug stapled to their head.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
That's Hollywood.
We're not really answering the question at all.
No.
But there is. This is something kind of interesting. I'm married to a doctor, so every once in a while I'll hear about, like, a new medicine or a medicine that was under copyright that will become generic.
Ooh.
And
so affordable.
Propecia used to be like $150 a month, which is expensive, you
know?
And it's a pill that's like Rogaine, but it's all internal, and it kind of regrows hair in places that you lost it, but doesn't necessarily, like as soon as you stop taking Propecia, your hair goes bald again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's kind of a commitment, and it lowers your sex drive in like 5% of patients. I'm really talking out of my ass here.
Nova Propecia.
New sponsor.
But, like, yes, please.
Get this. There's now a generic Propecia.
So it's affordable?
Yeah. And it's like $15 a month.
Susan, get it.
$15 a month.
I mean, I don't know if women can take it, but... And I think it's like I heard from a friend, and this isn't me, but it does seem like the Susan. And my friend Susan. But like the generic Propecia comes in like 4 times the size of the pill. So just like you can always just chop a lot of pills in half.
Yep.
Or in quarter.
And blow them?
Take a half. And snort them up. Crush them up. Snort them.
Find a hooker's nipple. Grind it up. And snort the shit out of it.
And that nipple will be hairy by the end of the...
Yeah. No, but like you can always like take a smaller amount and see if it does anything for you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's great advice.
That's actually legitimate advice, Susan. You're welcome. Courtesy of Brian Foss. We're just over here jazzing around when somebody has a real
thanks
problem.
For being a real person.
Thank you. Well, I think we helped some people.
Yeah.
Def.
There's some questions, but now we have some questions for our guest.
Uh-oh.
We do a little something called six sections.
Rapid fire
sex questions.
Six rapid fire sex questions.
It's like the Dirty Dozen.
This is the part I'm most nervous about.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Are they the same every week?
Maybe.
Nobody knows.
Starting now. Ryan, would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
One life partner.
Ryan, what's the sexiest animal?
Like a cat.
Brian, who is your number one celebrity crush?
It used to be Orlando Bloom, but it's not anymore. Maybe Zac Efron?
All right. What's the best song to have sex to?
Like electronica, drone music.
Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
I gotta go with hot tub.
Ooh.
And lastly, what's the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Life partner, values.
Ah,
this has
yes,
been
yes,
six
yes.
sections with Mr. Brian Foss.
Oh, I'm so glad it used to be Orlando Bloom.
I mean, I saw Elizabeth Town and everything changed.
And it all fell.
I like the, is that Wagner?
Yes, flying through the air. The,
flight of the
flight of the bumble. It makes
flying
it.
Flying with the bees.
Yo, we're flying with the bees.
I feel like we're in Germany, 1930s.
Before shit got real.
Yeah, it was just going to make a terrible comment.
Well, I'm glad you
pulled it back. One life partner. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's the safe answer. Has anyone said 10,000?
People fly into it. People try to be hot.
Let's say it.
We judge them.
It's just so many.
It is. Well, it's the
if
Wilt
you were
Chamberlain.
Like 100 or 1, I'd be like 100.
100, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
10,000 is a lot. Yeah. That's a lot of work.
That's patient zero.
It is. Wilt Chamberlain is patient zero.
Thank you.
But that's like a cultural.
Sure. You can't do that anymore.
Touchstone.
Yeah.
Something we can all relate to.
I also love that you just like said cat in general, but you said it in such a sexy way that you sold it. It was like, it wasn't just like sexiest animal, cat. It was like cat.
There's something about cats in general that like they don't want it, but they do.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're always teasy.
They are very teasy.
They're sleek.
And I'm a dog person 100%. I'm a dog.
You are a dog.
I'm a dog.
You are part dog.
I feel like I'm a dog and I'm sort of attracted to cat people.
Well, I think that dogs are man's best friend.
Murphy,
and
get
cats
this. I get this.
Are like who you want to go home with. You don't want to fuck your best friend unless you're that guy from earlier.
Mateo.
Oh, Mateo.
Isn't it funny how I remember Mateo's name, but like Suzanne or whatever? I'm like in one ear, out the other.
Boring.
Interesting.
So I'm like, Mateo, move from Montreal to New York City.
Speak
if
French
you want to have
me.
Some friends, we'll go out for a big bowl of lasagna.
Italian brunch.
Hospitaliano. Zac Efron's hot.
He is. Yeah. He's a
he's
good
doing
looking
well
human.
Right now. He is. He's aging well.
Did somebody tell me that he had a little go of it with some heroin? Did he have a little drug problem or was
he
that just...
It was one of those celebrity stories where he like went to Skid Row with some friends in the middle of the night and got in a fight with a homeless person. And you're like, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
In the middle of the night. And it's
probably
it's
drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but he's sobering up or something. I don't know.
Who can? I mean, he's good looking.
It's way cooler to have done a little bit of drugs.
It really is. As long as you can function in your older age.
You don't want to let it go too far.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He looks good.
Yeah, he looks really good.
He's got that cool thing where you have like kind of light hair but dark eyelashes.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare and sexy.
Light hair, dark lashes.
You know what I mean?
Zac Efron story.
It's like you're wearing makeup.
I got blue eyes.
Yeah, baby blues.
Oh, a couple of blues
Hazel
over
here. What are you guys?
Shit brown. I'll never be a movie star.
Oh, no. Hot tub. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Do people say, is that a common answer?
I think hot tub. See, my personal is just bed because it's just the simple, straightforward. And hot tubs, I don't know. There's something about it that I get.
It's the fantasy answer. It's not realistic answer.
Right. I guess, yeah, it's true. Because like hot tubs. It's got chlorine in it.
Yeah.
It's going to dry your skin out. You're going to get pruny.
You're going to get very pruny.
Also, there was a hot tub in Aspen that I went to in college with a bunch of people. And then everyone who went in it got this horrible rash.
Yeah. You get like bacteria. Rash is
so
yeah.
I always think of like.
That wasn't a well-maintained hot tub.
It is not sexy.
But you know what? The Aspen, I don't know if you were in the winter in this hot tub. That to me, I like. And outdoor, when it's cold outside and you're in a hot tub outside, I like it. But summertime, I'm like, I'm not getting in a fucking hot tub.
So I went to Iceland. Mark and I went to Iceland, and there's what I thought was a lifeguard at the Blue Lagoon, which is the thing that you see everyone in, that glowing blue, natural hot spring.
That's how they sell Iceland.
It's their number one tourist attraction, and it's totally worth it. But there's a lifeguard, and I found out later that the lifeguard's really there to keep people from fucking in the Blue Lagoon.
Because of course you would.
And there's this like goo that's all over the place that's this white algae.
It's
everyone's
the
rubbing it on their
it's
faces.
It's the lube of the earth.
And there's definitely nooks and crannies. Like, it's a natural rock formation.
Yeah.
So people totally, like, there's like, you know, British tourists with their selfie sticks. And then there's like little corners where you're like, yeah, where did the Germans go?
You know.
And there's the lifeguard that is there to just like be like, out.
Get out of there.
He, like, Germans. Goo at you.
Cheeky little Germans.
Yeah.
Murph and I jerked each other off in a hot tub in Costa Rica. Springs.
Hot spring. It was a natural hot spring. They were a little looser.
Well, it's natural.
And it was nighttime.
Yeah.
We were able to kind of, but there were children.
We waited until the kids left.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But our tour guide.
How?
Our lifeguard.
Like, they're like, literally you're watching them leave and then the door shuts and then you're like, let's do this.
Let's do this.
Well, they're doing this thing where they're like going down this like rock. Natural slide made by rocks, and I'm like, stop splashing me, I'm trying to jizz.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we go on vacation just to use hotel showers.
Interesting.
Is that fair to say?
I think that's very fair.
Like
to
especially
say.
In New York City, like bathrooms are so small. Like,
right.
I would give up my living room to just have like one of those spa showers.
The
that
walk
have, like,
in, you could just
have like
the
a little
one that it's
stool.
The whole room.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
There's
a stool
just,
to
like,
sit
benches.
Down in.
I'd be okay with like giving up my. Dining room
yes.
area or yeah. whatever
just
it is that people
it. Be like, listen, landlord.
I mean, you're still entertaining. You are. It's just different.
Yeah, that glass that people can just see right in. Oh,
that's
lifestyles
the life.
Of the rich and famous.
That's the life.
One last follow up. What do you mean by values?
I guess like, what's important to the person? You know, like someone that can keep up. Someone that's. Not-
I think that's very interesting because I think it almost. I get the idea of like, values match up, but just
what's
someone
important?
That gives a shit about something.
Yes.
Like it's important. I think there's a lot of people who are just like, whatever. I don't know. I don't stand for much. I don't feel strongly
someone,
about
it's
anything.
It's a big turnoff for me if someone is like, I don't follow politics.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. Well,
yeah. That was cool when you were 17.
Yeah. You know,
if you don't
at least
stand
have an
for
opinion.
Something, you'll fall for anything.
Yes. Bob Cackolfi
said
just, that.
Did you just make that up?
No. I think it was like a quote that I had to say in a script recently.
Oh. Are you an actor?
I don't follow politics. Because
but
I'm
it's true,
acting
like,
all the time.
If someone's, you know, priorities are just superficial, I mean,
right.
Then that's a That's a big turn.
No, we like all love values. Ourselves a little bit, but yeah, you got to sure, have something course. Outside of that.
I like that answer because it feels more like all-encompassing because people usually
it's a
pick
cheat
one.
Answer.
No, I actually feel like it's good. That's the first time yeah. anyone's ever said values.
Yeah, because people say kindness, and I'm like, what if they're an idiot?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're a like, kind oh, idiot. Really nice kind. Idiot. Yeah. Kindness is boring.
People that work at animal shelters are kind.
Right. But nobody wants to fuck them.
And they're putting dogs to sleep every day.
Right.
A granola bar is kind.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Have I just rescinded my invitation?
You're fired. All right, we're going to slip on over.
Ooh.
2PC Spotlight.
Ben, are you just watching porn?
Our power couple of the week. Oh, you know them, male humans past their prime.
And you know them, multicolored shirts created using rubber bands and colored dye. We're talking middle-aged men.
And tie-dye t-shirts.
This is a visual gag for you at home. Yeah.
Imagine it. Murph, you're wearing a tie-dye
I'm wearing a tie-dye
t-shirt.
Right now as this is being said. I'm middle-aged. I'll
no,
probably
you're
die
not.
At 65. I'm no, 33.
You're make I hate it when to you 85. Say that. Please.
85?
He's always
so.
Like, I'll die tomorrow. And I'm like,
I
but we're in love.
I haven't taken great care of myself. I know. But I'll probably do a little better in my older age.
You're not middle-aged. And I actually think tie-dye is cool. But since we were at the Dead Show last night, I thought of this Oof. Because it's insane mm-hmm. how middle-aged men flock to tie-dye.
This is also a tie-dye. And people were wearing those like, hey, man, this is from the, like, you know, the 88 tour, you know, when Jerry was slimmed yeah. down and feeling
wow.
good. Like, they had those kind of shirts. This is a tie-dye shirt of my buddy's construction company, Three Masons.
Three Masons.
Shout out to Tim Casey.
That's
did,
our
was it white
sponsor.
When you got it and then you tied it?
No, this is just like how he promotes his business. He's
that's
just
amazing.
Yeah, we don't do tie-dye in the home.
And we don't tie-dye in the home.
But these guys, these old men, they're like, it's like everyone's dad. And they have yep. a tie-dye shirt, like a tie-dye fanny pack and tie-dye socks with TiVos.
Oh,
and you're like, oh man,
the TiVos.
You're so cute.
The TiVos?
The TiVos.
Everyone brought their TiVos to the Dead Show. They were like, I've got the entire Shark
series
tank.
Of...
I went to Woodstock, or like right outside Woodstock.
The Riot Woodstock? Oh, just the town Woodstock.
The town. And it's a lot of these dudes.
Yeah.
And every weekend they do a drum circle still, like right in the center of town. And it's crazy. Like, they dance literally all day long. And this is their church.
Right.
And the African drums are going loud. Oh. And these older gentlemen.
The yep. djembe.
Yeah.
Are they, do you think they're investment bankers at this point, or are they still like living?
I think they moved back in the 70s yeah. and never left. And then they eventually like opened a Thai restaurant when that was cool.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know? Well, because there's people who kept the party going, and if they're still alive, even you see them in the parking lot and they can't afford a ticket mm-hmm. and they're toothless and it's like very sad.
Wow.
But then there's like what I was saying, like the dads who are just yeah. baby boomers who lived through this time, but then went on to do stuff. So they're like Silicon Valley or like yeah. whatever. We heard all these people talking like, we're in from Arizona, but they're just like covered in tie-dye and
totally.
Reliving their glory days. It was
mm-hmm. I have an uncle that he passed away, but he and a bunch of his friends like fell in love with Vermont. They were like these Long Island guys mm-hmm. and the government was just giving away plots of land. And they all like went up there and like camped a couple of like times. And then he was like one of the only ones that was like, I'm going to buy land up here. And I'm going to build on it. And he actually has my Uncle Jim had like the skills to build his own house, like on the
I
piece
have so
of property.
Much respect for that.
Me
and
too.
Work for the construction companies and get some hookups and stuff. But like so many people were fair weather
hippies.
Progressives. Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't think he turned into a, he kind of, the hippiness went away. He just was like an outdoorsman eventually. But I don't know what the historical fact is here, but at some point in the 70s, like, the government was just like giving land away.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting.
They're like, move to Montana. Like, land is super cheap.
And they had those. Yeah, they were federally funded to kind of like bring people in to bring. Yeah, that was an amazing time to like, especially if you have the fucking skills to make the labor.
Yeah,
and
they all bought the same piece of property. You know, let's say 20 acres.
Yeah.
All together, and it was dirt cheap. And then eventually, every year, he just bought a different person out of it
because
they were like, you know, I like Hartford, you know.
But
Diane
so-
doesn't like being so far from the Talbots. speaking of uncles, this is a little bit of a tangent, but my uncle Alex got kicked out of Brown, or is where you went, because he was part of all these psychedelic experiments doing acid.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of full circle. And then he moved out to Oregon, and then my mom followed
Was he
him.
There, I guess, in the 60s?
Yes.
Wow. Because they had a big cultural shift like in 68 or 9 where they started what's called the new curriculum where you basically get to decide your own classes and decide if you want to get grades or not.
It's like Montessori for adults.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
That's where I got my college education.
That's like RISD.
Yeah.
Which I did a pre-college program at RISD.
Nice.
And it's like where
RISD's
I did
Rhode
drugs.
Island School of Design.
Right. Which is like the retarded stepsister of Brown. I don't know what to call it.
Well, RISD's supposedly
mentally
this is
challenged.
Gonna,
pardon me.
I'm not going to say what I'm about to say.
Hold on, come on.
So RISD's gotten so Asian,
mm-hmm.
right?
That they now call it sits on the east side of Providence. Like now the townies call it the Far East Side.
Interesting. Those Rhode Islanders don't know what to make
approval.
Of it.
No, no.
No, yeah. But that
truth.
Is,
that's called the gin and tonic kicking in.
But those shifts take place. It goes from like hippie white to Asian
totally.
To, you know,
or like
all over town.
Like San Francisco.
One of the Ivy Leagues will become like 50% Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
This is again the gin and tonic talking, but like it's like definitely in the news now with like the Supreme Court case with the UT, the Austin white,
I don't know,
the white chick that applied to UT Austin and didn't get in and then
sued them,
the university system there, and like California, the public school system there, the university system definitely had a are kind of in a cultural crisis because they realize that the highest achieving students are like Asian.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, do we call them minorities now? Anyway, this is not sexy.
No, no, but I know
this
what you
is
mean.
A
it
little
doesn't
sexy.
Feel like.
Depending on your flavor that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, but the whole affirmative action thing you think would give a leg up to someone who maybe wouldn't normally get a leg up. But then you're looking at a group of people who are like labeled minorities, but who are achieving higher than other people. And you're like, where, what, now, who needs the leg up where?
People are so hateful to this girl in Austin, though. It's so funny. They're
big
like,
time.
They're like, yeah, they look got one look at your picture, and they're like, no.
That's
like trolls.
That's big time trolls, yeah.
I mean, I'd throw a beer at her.
Also, it's like, you also went to another school. Like, be proud of that.
Yeah, exactly. I think making a stink over it, it's like you're drawing a line in the sand that I feel could be, I mean, hey, you know
a
what?
A lot of energy, man.
No, but draw a different line.
Yeah.
Poor little white girl is not a good storyline.
It's not the best storyline. Jezebel's
Felicity.
Not going to pick it up.
It's Felicity.
It is Felicity.
Yeah. Cut all your hair off and start a new season.
Are you, Susan? Is this your
anonymous? Oh my gosh. We found Susan.
We found Susan. She...
Oh, God.
Susan's a bald white woman who can't get into university. Susan.
Well, that's why her picture was so bad, I guess.
Well, God bless that PC, huh?
Should we slip on over to
Virtual
Sugar?
What? Is this a new segment?
What we do here.
This is a fun one.
And have done in every episode we've ever recorded. Let's take a real OkCupid profile and improvise
a date.
Oh, I
love this. Yeah.
So we found you your perfect match. Pretend you're single for a moment.
Sure. Should I take my wedding band off?
Yes,
sure.
Please. That would add
like I do every day when I'm on the subway.
Got to keep your options open.
Gotta get
I
that.
Just like being flirted on.
Flirted on?
Flirted up on.
Flirted upon.
What's the preposition?
And around.
I liked flirted on.
Upon. I love it.
Okay, Murph will be playing your date. His moniker is Bruno the Bear.
Mm. Here we go.
Which is Brown University's mascot.
Thank you.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Good research, lover.
And I forgot to pick a location. So this is the old one we used for Austin.
Oh, this.
So will you just pick one on the date?
I'll pick one.
Or we could do an improv trope, which is, hi, Ben, can we have a suggestion of a location?
Perfect. Sure. Ski Lodge.
Ooh, we're at the lodge.
So I'll play anybody else who needs to show up.
Sure.
Date begins now.
Hey, Bri, how are you?
Bruno, après-ski. This is nice.
You know, I don't know how the slopes are today. You know, I like to rent these places out in the summertime. You know, they're cheaper.
Sure.
So, you know, I figured, what the hell? We'll get a cabin for the summer.
It's funny you say that because I didn't ski today either.
No.
I just come up here for the 3 p.m. booze fest by the fireplace.
Oh, man, they just offer them up.
I am sweating.
White Russians, yeah. It's a little warm.
Hey, guys. I'm Chaz Miller.
Yeah, Chaz.
I just skied the K-12 in under 6 seconds.
Chaz goes down just on the grass. He just doesn't give a shit. He's a hot shot.
Yeah.
Pay him no mind.
So Chaz, you think nice you can... Oakley goggles.
Yeah.
Thanks. They're purple, specially made. Tinted.
What?
Look, Chaz, this color is called Chaz.
The color's called Chaz?
I invented it.
Yeah, Chaz is like heir to the Oakley fortune, and his dad gave him a color of shades.
Wait, you're Chad Oakley.
He is.
Chaz Oakley.
Yeah, oh, Chaz. He goes by Chaz. Your name is Chadwick, admit it.
I'm Chadwick Chaz Oakley Miller.
Look, Chaz, we're on a date here.
Yeah, first of all.
So you think you can best me in the K-12 or not?
On grass? I mean, Jesus Christ. I haven't skied in snow in a while.
You guys are too busy smoking grass and not skiing on grass because you have tie-dye snowsuits on.
Yeah, look, we're just laid-back bros.
Yo, this is just a 420 friendly date.
Yeah.
You make me sick. I'm going to go vote Republican.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, that was...
I did not think we'd get hate-crimed on our first date together.
No, Jesus.
Or is that just a bias incident?
I think that's maybe a one-off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I never know when I'm getting hate crimed until someone hits me, you know?
I know. Unless there's bloodshed, it's like, what's happening? This is just like high school.
Yeah. But thank you. I mean, you're jacked. You're huge. You're burly.
I work.
Bruno the Bear.
I work on it.
So,
this
if anything,
is a toupee. I'm just going to take it off. Oh, the hell with it. I have nothing to prove to you. I mean, that came out wrong.
Right.
I like you. I feel comfortable around
you. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Your little wig just fell in my son's hot chocolate.
You called it a little wig?
Well, I don't know what it, I thought it was a cat, but it was a little wig.
It's moleskin.
You can't bring children into the ski lodge after 3:30 because it's happy hour.
It's big boy time.
Well,
there's a Dave Matthews Band cover band
coming. They're called Crash Into Us.
You know what? I just want $3 for the hot chocolate, and I'll leave you boys alone.
Wow, because it's $2.50 on the menu. You're upselling.
I mean, it was so traumatic for Shane.
50 Shane? Cents for Shane.
Hey,
come
Shane,
on.
Come over here.
Shane, get over here, little boy.
Hi.
Oh, looks like Shane might be family, huh, Bruno?
Oh. Looks like Shane is family.
Shane, have you you expressed any interest in anyone at school yet, Shane?
There's this guy, Mitchell, who kicks really high.
Oh, Shane.
Is he on the kickball team?
No, we just kick at recess.
Kicking at recess. Shane, you know what? Here's two shiny quarters for you.
And
don't give those to your mother.
And here's $20. Go get a real haircut, Shane.
Yeah, Shane.
Thank you so much. My mom keeps putting a bowl on my head and chopping around it. See you guys later. Oh,
God. She's going to ruin that kid with that bowl cut.
No, he'll be okay.
He knows what high kicks are all about.
Yeah. I'm not sure I know what high kicks are about, but
I mean,
I'm glad to be on this date with you.
This is the cabin to experiment with high kicks. Because
are you in block D or block F?
I'm over in F.
Yeah.
I'm in the top floor of F, though.
That's nice. It's a good view.
Very nice.
Got Guys, a view. I'm really sorry. The lodge is on fire.
Oh, my
Wait,
God.
Which block?
All of it.
Oh,
so,
what the?
We're going to reimburse you. Would you guys go on a second date?
Yes!
Sure!
Absolutely, right now!
It seems like Oh my God, we went through so much.
There was a lot that happened in the first date. I wish I had eventful first dates like that.
We never get second dates. That was really good.
Yeah, that one went well. We also had a common enemy, which helps.
Yes.
Chaz Chad was the heir to the Oakley fortune.
Yeah, that guy sucked.
That was nice, yeah.
Yeah, that was. Oh, good about that. I also love playing for the young man was playing for the team. He was on the team.
Hello.
Hello. I was doing youth, but
I just
apparently
wanted to come over and talk to
red the guys.
Yeah, there's a little sugar on your voice.
Hello.
I have been drinking.
My mom made me come over here.
Your toupee's in my hot cocoa.
Cacao. Oh man.
Gay kids are the best.
They really are.
They are, but I still feel sad.
I feel sad, too, but only because we have to say goodbye to Brian Foss.
Aww.
I know.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for
Thank
coming.
You.
This was a blast.
Guys, don't forget to catch the first season of Bianca on TV. Brian's the cool sidekick barkeep.
And also follow him on Twitter at Brian_Foss and on Instagram at BrianFostagram. I love your Instagrams.
Catch him performing live every Friday night at the UCB Chelsea Theater with the Law Firm.
Yes, this gent shaking and moving all over town. Thank you, Brian,
Thanks,
for coming.
Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that sensual outro.
We'd also like to thank our producer, Bounce High. That's Ben Hosley. He's a weed freak.
Yo, this guy's a weed freak. Yo. Also, our mama, UCB Comedy, fed that weed through her teat into our mouths. We want to thank her for that.
Took a big bong hit out of that nasty tube titty.
Woo.
Please tweet at us at Menage Radio.
And also, reach out and touch us. MenageAtrois.radio@gmail. Questions, answers, anything you have for us.
That's true. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And you should come out to Chelsea.
Yes, live show.
Live, Menage a Trois Radio.
July 30th.
July 30th at 9:30, everyone.
Prime time.
Ooh,
prime time.
Only $5.
We're usually fucking around at midnight, but now they gave us a little prime time slot.
Good slot.
I think somebody made a data error.
Before they fix it on the schedule, quick, meet us there.
We won't. We'd be wearing pants.
Nope.
It's a great slot.
Sweet slot.
Guys say that to me all the time.
Hey, they say, sweet slot, baby.
Yeah. Nice slot.
Primo slot.
Slots.
'Ménage à Trois is recorded at UCB Comedy Studios in New York City. Titillating tunes brought to you by French Horn Rebellion. Check out all things funny at ucbcomedy.com and subscribe to Menage a Trois Radio on iTunes for new episodes every hump day. That's Wednesday for all you lovers out there.